I speak to you in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Well, New Year's Eve. What do you guys do on New Year's Eve? You get together with people, right? You get together to perhaps sing some songs like Auld Lang Syne. You sing other songs around a piano, perhaps, or the Spotify or something. But what we do is we get together with drinks, you know, sweet wine and fancy food, and we want to spend time with people we know and we love, to be able to gaze into their eyes and to sing, "May this year be a good one." I've been trying all week to figure out the song that has that in it. What is it? May it be a good one. Does it start about like Christmas and then Happy New Year? No? Okay. Well, anyway. You get the feeling, right? That we spend New Year's Eve to be able to say to one another a blessing, to say that, you know, to wish together that this year would roll out as a good one. Well, Jesus, he has gone to Nazareth to go and do what he normally does when he's there, which is to go to the synagogue. He is all fired up after having been baptized and anointed with the Holy Spirit, and then cast out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, face the devil down and win, and then be fired up to go out from there to tour through Galilee. And we heard in the gospel passage how everywhere he went, he did good things, said good things, and he was praised in doing so. So here he is in the synagogue, he's kind of like taking in he's taking in the passage that has been handed to him. It's been rolled out in the scroll, and he is seeing that there is a message for him to say. He is going to read, and then he's going to expound on it. And he's doing something that is an ancient thing to do, which we heard about in the passage of Nehemiah, where the people, they have been in exile. They have been, for years, living away from the possibility even of gathering together in worship. And now the walls have been rebuilt around Jerusalem, and there's a gate in one of them, and it's called Water. And the men and women and children, all of the people who have recently come back to rebuild their lives and to rebuild their lives in Jerusalem in relationship to God, that the life there might be a good one. They've come to hear Ezra the scribe read the law that hasn't been read in public for a very long time. Perhaps for the very first time, many of these people are hearing it. And they are enraptured. They are sitting there listening intently, seeing all that there is being spoken as a way for them to order their lives and to order them well so that it will be a good life for everyone in that place. What happens is that as they are listening all day, listening to this law, they at the end of it, they're really sad. They're crying. And Ezra says, "Hold on, don't be sad. This is good stuff. Be glad. Take joy in this message that God is saying to you." And in a sense, we can do it. We can do what is being asked of us, and it will be good for all of us to do so. And so as a sign and symbol of what he was saying, he gives them some sweet wine and some fatty meat. Says, this is the nutritious thing. This is the sweetness of God being spoken to you for our new situation, the new possibilities. And this occasion of the public reading has become known in Judaism as the first, is a new year, is New Year's Eve, New Year's Day. So it's quite fun to see that as I started the sermon. I guess you do that, you start so that it goes somewhere, right? Anyway, but it's a new day. It's a new day for the people of Nazareth, and Jesus is there to say so. It's a new day because it's going to be a new year. He is there, he's going to sit down after he's read the scroll, and he's going to make sense of it to the people, which is what we heard in that passage in Nehemiah. that Ezra made, and all of those other guys, I made sure that we read that, even though, sorry, Jane, it was hard maybe to do all the names. But that was omitted in the reading, and I'm like, no, they were there to help make sense of this passage. Jesus is there in the synagogue to help make sense of the passage that he has unrolled in the scroll and chosen from Isaiah to read from. And the sense that he is making of it is quite outstanding. He is saying, today, this is fulfilled in your midst. Today is the beginning of the favorable year of the Lord. Today, it'll be a good one for everyone. Of course, he's going to make a final punchline, but we'll get to that about who he is and how he'll make that happen. Well, here we are, 4 weeks into the new year. And is it going to be a good one? How are we feeling about that? I'm sure we're all over the place. Will it be a good year? Can it be a good year? I think that what Jesus has said, what he said to the people in Nazareth, what Ezra read from the law to the people of Jerusalem as they were coming out of exile, is a message for us as well that comes from Jesus Christ, the one sovereign God who has come from heaven to earth to say, it is a favorable year, and I'm going to make it so for everybody, and it's going to be the tradition every year that it will be a favorable year for everyone. Now, 4 weeks into the new year, much has transpired in that little part, that little section of time. And there are others who are out there who are saying they know how to make sense of things. And, rulers and leaders of all sorts, struggling to figure out what laws to lay down, what laws to dismiss in order to kind of rebuild and reestablish and make things great again. Sorry. I did that. Anyway, where am I going with this now that I've done that? Yeah, the gathering in the synagogue, Jesus is saying it will be a favorable year, a good year for everyone. I think that message is still true for us today. And so where this goes is that, how do we do it? How do we make it a good year? Well, Jesus is in the synagogue, and the order of the worship is our order of worship. We, in the synagogue, the whole setting would have begun with the Shema, which is the statement of the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And then they would have read the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments. And the very first of the Ten Commandments is, the Lord is God, worship only the Lord God, right? And then there's 18 benedictions, blessings, benedictions that are said. And then there is the reading of the law, some reading from the first five books of the Torah. And then there is a psalm. And then there is an explanation. Somebody comes to try to make sense of what was all just read. And then there is a blessing. And what I'm wanting to say is that in this year, there is a way to make it a good one. And it is about focusing our attention on the one who sits in our midst to say, it is a good year, and this is how it can be a good year. If you will but gaze upon me and trust in me as the one sovereign God above all things, the one who holds all things together, the one who said, take heart, you will have trouble in this world, but I have overcome it. And he did do that. He started out his ministry there saying that proclamation in Isaiah, that I have come to bring good news to the poor, to the captives, to the immigrants, to the ones who are living on the margins of life, who others in power, other rulers may think are inconsequential and unimportant. Those who are not to be taken in to the center of life, but to be kept on the outside. So we in our worship, we gather together today to focus on Jesus, to focus on the one Lord, and believe again and again that God is in charge and that God is rolling out goodness for everyone. I have an icon here. It is of Jesus, Christ Emmanuel, it's called. And he is holding the scroll of the passage from Isaiah, in which he proclaims that not only has he come to fulfill it, but he is going to set it as a pattern of life for all years to come, that it will be a favorable year. I'm just putting this out here because I think that what we have is a lot of other people in the news who are drawing our attention and our focus and our gaze. And we have an opportunity as Christians, yes, to know these things, but to gaze upon Christ and to gaze upon the truth of who is in charge and who God has come to focus on. And that is all people. All people, no matter where their station is in life, no matter what abilities they have, God has come for all. So in this next year, I think that it's important for us to be able to do what we have seen in the passages, the people gathered at the gate, water, people gathered around Jesus, seeking to hear him make sense of that passage. We gather together today in the structure of a similar worship to gaze upon Jesus and to believe again that he is here for us and for all. And so then we will go from here joyful, having tasted of the sweetness of God rather than the bitterness of God. And like the people in Nehemiah, Ezra gives them fatty meat and sweet wine and says, go, share this. Go to those who haven't had a meal prepared for them. Go to those who were not able to come and gather at the water gate for whatever reason. Go and bring this to them. And of course, Jesus, he goes even further, and he's going to go from this gospel text, chapter 4, throughout Luke, bringing the truth of what he's saying to everybody he meets, saying, you may be a leper, I'm going to heal you, and you're going to be able to come into the center of the worship and be a part of us all. So Jesus is going to perform what he says he has come to do. And we are ones who are filled with the Spirit, who are also meant to be fired up to take this sweet word, this good wine, this fatty meat, I don't know, and share it with others and bring joy to others rather than sorrow. So I'll just close with saying that in this year to come, I myself, and I invite you to press into your devotional life even further, to spend time looking at the Gospels, look at Luke, look at Jesus, look at what he came to say and to do. He is our guide. He is our Lord. Sometimes we have a difficulty with that word, but it means that he's in charge and his ways are being lived out in the earth. There's one other thing, and that is that you can find some good news if you look hard enough on the internet. I don't know how I came across this article, but it's about a neighborhood in Mexico City, which Clara, who is now the mayor of Mexico City, she came from. It's Iztapalapa, I think it's called. And it had been a neighborhood that was, this neighborhood is 2 million people, so it's kind of crazy talk. But in this neighborhood, there was no attention paid to all of these people. They did not have the cultural centers that were in the commercial center of Mexico City. They didn't have places for washing their laundry, parks, libraries, all the things that we ourselves think that they're for everybody. But it was not so for a long, long time until she created a thing called Utopia, Freedom Utopia. So she got really creative in doing something like even converting an airplane into a library. A Boeing 737, I guess, which was decommissioned, is a library. And it is near an area where all of the garbage from the center of Mexico City is taken. It is near where the prison, because that's where you would build a prison, is where all these other people, they don't really matter, so, you know, whatever. But the point in all of that is that they do matter, and that all that people at the center or at the top feel is their right and privilege to have, it is for everyone. And so this neighborhood is now a thriving, healthy, happy place to live. That's the sweet wine I'm talking about, the fatty meat. That is about God's good news for the poor, and we have it to share. And let's this year make it a good one, knowing that it will be a good one, if we but just gaze on Jesus and who he is. Amen.